Well, good afternoon, everybody. So good to have you here, and Merry Christmas. It's interesting that that fantastic number that Brandon put together. By the way, didn't he do a great job of putting that together? So I do want you to know that the part that Dan played, our campus pastor, they actually asked me to play. And I was very willing to do it, actually. I like to act. But then they heard me sing. And they said, no way. So that's why I'm giving the message tonight and not singing to you. But I want to start this afternoon with kind of a fun, cute story that I heard earlier this week. It took place during what was a slow news day, if you will, way back in 1993. A local newspaper photographer captured an image of a wild fir tree that was actually growing out of some cracked pavement on a Philadelphia highway. So neighbors and motorists in passing had actually just like on a whim started to adorn this wild fir tree with a few modest ornaments and the image of what they came to call the Christmas weed did the early 90s equivalent of going absolutely viral. Now, unfortunately, the reality of the Christmas weed caught the eye of the Department of Transportation in Philadelphia, and they considered it a potential traffic hazard because, you know, people were gawking at it as they're driving by, and they scheduled for it to be cut down. Now, their Scrooge-like response actually escalated a community outcry. A reporter even wrote a very sentimental fable about the tree, and it was very well received by the public. And now, 25 years later, Claymont celebrates this Christmas weed with a massive annual parade. I mean, there are cheerleaders, there are marching bands, there are fire trucks. It's a huge celebration. The lady who actually organizes the festivities said this, "We say it represents Claymont. We're not pretty, but we're plucky. We're resilient, and we keep coming back." And I thought about that, and I thought, you know, that for me is like the perfect symbol of Christmas. Because what we celebrate at Christmas, of course, is the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But the reality is, he didn't make a grand entrance as you would expect. His entrance wasn't the least bit pretty. But when you think about it, it was plucky. In fact, his entrance was so different from what everyone expected. His own people, who had waited centuries for him to come, did not even recognize him. And yet today, kind of like that Christmas weed in Claymont is celebrated, Jesus Christ and his birth is celebrated throughout the world. And the strange thing about this is his own people should have known. For centuries, they had read their ancient scriptures, the law, the writings, and the prophets. And one of those prophets was a man named Isaiah. And he lived over seven centuries before the birth of Jesus. And he prophesied during a time when God's people were worshiping idols rather than the true God. God had delivered his people from bondage in Egypt. He had brought them through the wilderness. He had brought them to the promised land. They became a great nation. They built a beautiful temple to worship God in the city of Jerusalem. But they then strayed from God's law, from God's word, and they fell into idolatry. And so what God did out of his great love for them is God raised up prophets like Isaiah to speak into their lives. And Isaiah told them that they would soon be conquered by a foreign nation called Babylon, their temple would be destroyed, and they would be carried off into exile in Babylon, where they would stay for 70 years. And yet into this crisis, Isaiah the prophet also spoke words of comfort and hope. He said, "There's still a future for you." And at the center of Isaiah's prophecy was a mysterious figure he called the servant of the Lord. And the servant of the Lord is actually depicted in four songs that are found in the second half of Isaiah's Old Testament book. And when you read these servant songs, it becomes very clear that no one could fulfill the shoes of the servant of the Lord but the Messiah King himself. Now, one of those songs we're going to look at this afternoon, it's found in Isaiah chapter 42. And let me just read what Isaiah wrote, God speaking through Isaiah in Isaiah 42, 1 through 4. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his teaching, the islands will put their hope. So the really interesting thing about this is that if you fast forward, again, 750 years, one of Jesus' own disciples, a disciple named Matthew, and one of the Gospels is written by Matthew, he quoted this reference from Isaiah in his Gospel. It happened after Jesus had healed a man who had a withered hand, and Jesus healed him on the Sabbath. And the religious leaders, as they often were absolutely incensed about Jesus doing things like this on the Sabbath. So much so, and they were so tired of him doing things like this, that it says they plotted how to kill Jesus. Jesus was very aware of their intent to kill him. In fact, Jesus could have exposed them and their plot right then and there. He could have challenged them. He could have fought back against them. You'd expect that from a king, right? But instead, Matthew says that Jesus withdrew from them. And then he says a large crowd followed him, and Jesus healed many of them. And then Jesus did something very strange. He warned everyone not to tell anyone about all the things that he was doing. Isn't that amazing? Keep it a secret, he said. Strange behavior. I mean, he could have fought back, right? He had unlimited power. He could have started a riot. At least with so many people on his side, he could have organized like a march on Jerusalem, or maybe at least called for a public debate, right? But this was not his way. He preferred to do his work quietly. He preferred to do his work without a fuss. And Matthew understands how this might be hard for us to understand. So Matthew reaches back into Isaiah chapter 42, and he quotes the very passage I just read. And Matthew repeats what Isaiah said, because Jesus is that servant of the Lord. He is that coming Messiah King who would not be what everyone expected, who would not act like an ordinary king. Everyone expected this king would come with power and he would crush Israel's enemies. But they had it all wrong. And there are three things that we see in Isaiah's prophecy about this king named Jesus that no one ever expected. And perhaps you would have never expected. The first thing is that this king would come as a servant. He would come as a servant. We see this in verse 1. When God speaks through Isaiah and says, here is my servant whom I uphold. Yes, he is a beloved servant. Yes, he is a spirit-filled servant. Yes, he is a servant in whom God delights, but he is still a servant. He's a lowly servant. He didn't come to be served as kings do. He came to serve. What kind of king does that? This is like a CEO of a multinational company, like coming to your house, knocking on the door, you answer the door, and he says to you, I am here to wash your cars. It doesn't make any sense. Who does that? And what did this servant come to do? Well, notice Isaiah says that he'll bring justice to the nation. So justice means taking all that is wrong and writing it, if you will. The world is bent, isn't it? I mean, look around. Creation is broken. I mean, all you have to do is read the news. There's so much wrong. There's so much injustice, so much corruption. But Jesus will overcome all of it. He will not quit until the job is done. And he'll not just do this for Israel. He will do this for all the nations. His is a worldwide mission. In fact, Isaiah later said that he would be a light to the Gentiles. Now, that's what we would expect a king to do. We would expect a king to bring justice, right? Good kings bring justice. But the really strange thing is while Jesus accomplished the results of a king, he did not use the methods of a king. When you think of the great and powerful kings of the earth, what do you think of? How do they get the job done? Well, with force, with power, right? It's like North Korea's leader constantly touts his nation's advancement in nuclear weaponry. He says that they are invincible as a nation, and he puts everyone on notice. Don't mess with us. But that's not how God's servant will get the job done. Isaiah says he will not shout or cry out. He will not raise his voice in the streets. He won't make a lot of noise. He won't make a big deal of himself. Here I am, King Jesus, look at me, quick, call CNN. His work will be done without noise, without publicity, without bluster. And as we already learned, Jesus went so far as to tell his disciples, don't tell anybody, keep it quiet. It's good for us at Christmas, I think, to meditate on what I would call this infinite contradiction. This infinite contradiction of a king who came to serve. A king who would bring justice to the nations, but he would do it without bluster. And as his people, we are called to be like him in this world. We don't have to worry about power and publicity. We don't have to vote for the right politicians or fight for Jesus to get more face time in our public schools. We don't have to try to get our greatest sports heroes to thank Jesus on TV. We can do it his way. Quietly, without fanfare, without bluster. We can serve people. We can be there when people are at their lowest. We can weep with those who weep. And we can show them, we can demonstrate to them that there's a king who came to serve. The second thing that we would not have expected is that he is a compassionate king. You might say he's a gentle king, a tender king. So listen to what Isaiah says once again. He said, a bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Well, what's that all about? Well, a reed back then could be used as a flute, a measuring rod, or even as a writing utensil. However, once it was used, and once it was bruised, it was completely useless. It was beyond repair. So you just threw it out, and you got another. And fortunately, there were lots of reeds around, right? You could just replace a bruised one with a new one, and you're good to go. They were plentiful and cheap. But God's servant, Jesus, doesn't discard what the world deems as useless. It's the same with the smoldering wick. I mean, a smoldering wick is a nuisance. My wife, Lynn, bought a big candle with like 3 wicks on it recently for Christmas, and she lit it. And as soon as she lit it, man, it just started smoldering and smoking. And you know what she did? She said, we're taking that back. No one wants a candle like that, right? It's useless. Snuff it out, return it, or throw it away. It just smokes up the room. So do you see what this is saying about Jesus, about the servant of the Lord? This servant will serve and restore people who the world has given up on and who the world would discard and throw out. He's attracted to fragile, hopeless cases. Jesus, this powerful, sovereign king, came to bring justice to nobodies who could find it nowhere else. That's what it's saying. And I just wonder, are there any bruised reeds here today? Anybody here weakened or even defeated by the pressures and pains that life brings? Are you a dimly burning wick, unable to handle those pressures and pains, being crushed under the weight of them? Do you feel damaged? Maybe you feel discarded. And maybe you don't feel like that today, but the day will come when you will feel that. Because we're all very fragile creatures. We're all way more vulnerable than we know. Many of us hide our bruises and manage to keep our flames burning in public. But then when we get alone, man, the flame burns dim, doesn't it? So our plight may be complicated by feelings that our bruises are self-inflicted, that we've made choices, bad choices, and so we're really deserving of what we're receiving. That may be true. Through our own sin, we may have brought on those bruises. We may have dimmed our own flame. But this servant of the Lord is not put off by whatever caused your condition, even if you caused it. He just wants to help. What caused your bruises? What causes your flame to flicker? Maybe like a smoldering wick, you feel discarded, good for nothing. If that's you, I just want you to know that a simple cry to this King, Jesus, is enough. He will come. He will help you. It may not be in the exact way you think he should help you, but I absolutely guarantee you he cares and he will meet you in your deepest need. Jesus loves taking the bruised reeds and the smoldering wicks of this world and making them into trophies of his grace and love. The third thing we would not have expected about the servant of the Lord, the Messiah, the King of Kings, is that he is a suffering king. He is a suffering king. Now we see that in verse 4, because Isaiah said this. He said, "He will not falter or be discouraged in bringing forth justice on the earth." Now there's a really fascinating thing about this that doesn't come out in the English translation, right? The fascinating thing is that word falter is the same word he used in verse 3 for a smoldering wick. And that word discouraged is the same word he used in verse 3 for a bruised reed. So listen to what he's saying. The servant of the Lord will find himself subject to the same pressures, the same pains, the same wounds of those he came to serve. Isn't that amazing? He'll be bruised. He'll be a smoldering wick. His mission to bring forth justice will come at immense cost to himself. Now, he won't falter. He won't be discouraged. He'll persevere to the end. He'll accomplish his mission, but at great cost to himself. Jesus Christ is the King who suffers. He suffered during his lifetime on earth. He was lied about. He was slandered. Have you ever been slandered? It hurts. He was rejected by many members of his own family, some of whom even thought he was like basically out of his mind. He was betrayed by one of his very best friends. Have you been rejected? Have you been betrayed? Have you been abandoned? Jesus understands because he has been there. The writer of Hebrews put it this way. He says, "We don't have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted, tested, tried in every way, just as we are, yet without sin." Whatever you are experiencing today, whatever has caused the bruises in your life, whatever has caused your flame to flicker, he's been there. He's experienced it. And of course, all of this points to the cross, where justice was ultimately won. Because on the cross, Jesus received the just judgment for our sin and our brokenness. You see, this justice that he came to bring on earth came at great cost to himself. In fact, later in one of the other servant songs, Isaiah actually says of the servant of the Lord, "He will be bruised for our transgressions." Bruised for your transgressions and for mine. The title of this message is All I Want for Christmas is Someone to Believe In. Man, don't we need someone to believe in today? But look at Jesus. Jesus is a king like no other king. He is a servant king. He is a compassionate, gentle, tender king. And he is a king who suffers. And doesn't just suffer, but suffers for us. He was bruised for us. And here's the deal. Because he's so different from any other king, and because we never would have expected a king like this, it's very easy to miss him. It's very easy to miss him. It's kind of easy to write him off like that Christmas weed I talked about earlier. I mean, he was born in an insignificant town to unknown parents in humble surroundings. Jesus was missed by many. Jesus is missed by many. He was overlooked because no one could imagine a king who served. No one could imagine a king who cared for the bruised and the broken and the outcast. A king who was willing himself to be bruised to redeem us. And so today, believe me, many people miss Jesus. And I would just say to you today, don't miss him. He came to meet your deepest longings. I know that there are all kinds of reasons that you come to a Christmas Eve service. Maybe somebody dragged you here. I get it, right? Or maybe you just wanted some Christmas cheer. You wanted to sing a few Christmas carols and kind of get in the spirit. That's okay too. There's all kinds of reasons that you might be here. But I think the one thing that's true of all of us is we all come here with a deep longing in our heart. That there's something in our life that is causing us to ache. There's some longing in our life that is causing us to want more. And I would just say to you today that you might consider that this Jesus, that this servant of the Lord, might be the one who can meet your deepest longings. I mean, it could be in your marriage, it could be in your career, it could be in raising your kids, and it just could be in suffering from discouragement or maybe depression. It doesn't matter what you're going through. I want you to know that there is a God, there is a king who came to serve. There's a king who cares, who's compassionate like no other person could be. And there's a king who suffered on your behalf. And we're going to do something a little bit different today. I'm going to ask some of our pastors to come up here on the stage. And we're going to pray for you. And Sandy Hughes, Dan Reed, Brandon Passion. And so what we're going to do is just ask you to bow your heads right now and in a spirit of prayer. Maybe you're not used to praying. That's okay. We're glad you're here. Just close your eyes and try to get in the spirit of just really talking with God. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that this king who came to serve, this king who is so full of compassion, that he would not discard a bruised reed or snuff out a smoldering wick. And this king who suffered so we might be set free. We pray that you, Lord, would come to meet the deepest needs that are represented in this room today.
For you who are overburdened.
For you who are grieving and cannot stop.
For you who are fearful for the future.
For you who are regretting the past.
For you who are moving too fast.
For you who have had enough and are ready to give up.
For you who have been hurt and are still hurting.
For you who are still waiting for God to show up.
For you who have felt forgotten.
For you who have lost hope.
For you who long for healing.
For you who are looking for someone to believe in.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Lord, hear our prayer.
Amen.